The lights from the gas station a mile east were out. The goose-necked lamps overhanging the broad toll plaza had been reduced to one on either side, and all the toll lights were red, save one green, facing in either direction. One by one, then, the men had climbed out of their booths and into their cars, backed them up, went through the lanes like ordinary commuter travelers or tourists, and vanished beyond the edge of the light. Not a word to anyone, not a letter once they had gone. And each one had passed to Terry one of the bogus coins. "Listen, Terry," he said when the silence began to unnerve him. "Tell you what I'll do. I'll switch booths with you, all right? And when one of them jerks tries anything on me, I'll break their arms?" "Sit on them," he said, and spread his arms to display his bulk. She pushed at her hair, shaking her head but smiling in spite of herself, and Wes relaxed. Would have been a hell of a night if he and Terry hadn't been able to call to each other from their respective stations. Jokes, stories about her kids, his jobs, complaints about traffic and the lack of it. Anything at all to keep from turning on the portable radio. Radios were death in the middle of the night. The music was loud enough to keep him awake, but the jockeys kept telling him the time he didn't want to know until the sun broke over the horizon. He supposed, he knew, it would have been cheaper just to keep the exact change lane open, but there was always some idiot with a $5 bill. At 4 in the morning with a $5 bill. His eyes would be stinging by then because instead of sleeping when the sun came up, he would write his resumes and make calls and once in a while take a sick day to drive out to an interview. He had done that yesterday, in fact. And finally, there was a chance that he could kiss nickels and quarters and dimes goodbye forever. He had not mentioned it to Terry, though, because he didn't want to jinx it. He waited instead and walked with her back to the road. A yellow van was waiting in his lane, honking his horn and shouting for attention. At first, Wes thought the driver might be in trouble, but when he hurried to the island and tight-roped to the gate, the booth was empty. The driver was mad. Wes apologized for the delay, received a curse for a tip, and the quarter was thrown against his chest as the van sped away. "Terry," he called, "do you see Pete anywhere?" Silence. Then, "No," her voice thin in the damp air. Wasn't the best damn job in the world, he thought as he strode angrily toward the parking lot behind the authority building. But damn it, whoever's doing it ought to do it right, for God's sake. He heard Terry calling him, ignored her, and rounded the back corner, and stopped. The lot was empty except for her station wagon and his sedan. Both of them were old, and both of them were alone. Good God, he thought, walked back to the plaza and stared east, then west, shaking his head.